Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for, I thank you for everybody's prayers. I thank you for healing me and delivering me and for this church and for the faithful few that still attend here, Father. We ask your blessings on the class this morning too, for we thank you and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to tell you something. You know how I always harp on the same subject. When you go through these trials, you claim a promise. Whatever promise you're led to go into, and hang on to that promise. It delivered me so many times just in the last couple of months. And it's not always the same promise. One day it'll be different. And you just got to hang on to them. And that's all. You know, I don't have any of my study aids. And all I have is the doctrine that I've retained. And I'm living proof that it works. And trying to get your faith up to the place to go through the trial, then you just have to wait and endure the trial. It's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be terrible. But that's what endurance is about, of keeping it in there. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we have this with the Apostle Paul, and he shares something with us in verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Troubles would be word for pressure. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received a sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me, very familiar. And I picked up something that I just kind of gloss, you know, sometimes you just gloss over parts of a passage. And it is in that second clause, far beyond our ability to endure. Now, what this tells us that Paul did have an ability to endure. In fact, he had endured many trials in his life up to this point, and he was able to go through them hanging on to the promises of God. But this was one, and he doesn't say exactly what it was, but this is one trial he didn't have the ability to endure. And this last thing I've been through here, and I've been here over 50 years, or yeah, I guess count the other time. And in that 50 years, I've suffered and endured so many different things. But this was after being hit, like Job said, a wave after wave hits me and is dragging him down. And that's where you get set up for the sucker punch, you know, from the devil. And by the way, the devil was very present in my suffering. And I would just barely get on top of one, and he'd hit me with another one. And it went on and on and on. And then you get thrown into rehab, away from family, friends, my church, my life. And you're in there with people scooting around on wheelchairs and people just look like they've been put there to die. And that's what I felt like. I was just being sent there to die. Well, I don't want to die, not yet. I've got things to do, places to go, people to see. I got a life to live. But it was always hammering me down. And the last thing is, after falling down, and Satan behind that, getting me to the place of being weak, weak in my faith, weak in my body, because you just get worn out from dealing with all this stuff. So it was like a big blow coming to completely put me out. And I thought, I don't want to do this. I need to get my faith up to overcome this challenge. And that's what I've been doing, is working on my faith. But at a, and by the way, I'm not just talking about myself. I'm forewarning all of you that in life, somewhere, probably when you get old like me, you're going to be hit with stuff over and over again. And I'm just shocked and amazed how the perishable body is there. I can see it happening. But I've been learning to walk all over again. I've been having to measure every step, every of the way that I go, because I don't want to fall down again. It's like a big tree, and it hurts. So our ability to endure trials, we've gone through, and all of you have gone through trials, but somewhere you're just going to be hit with something, and you've got to dig down deep. Like, I found out I got a little muscle above my knee that controls my ability to stand, and it can give out on you at any time. So I've been trying to exercise that little bitty muscle in the leg there, and I'm getting where I can walk better. But trying to flex a muscle, and you flex like crazy, and it don't do anything. And you're learning a lot about it, how your anatomy works. We take it for granted, like I always took this stuff for granted. But now you really have to apply yourself. You're going to have to dig down deep, deeper than you've ever gone, and grab a hold of that faith concept and walk with God and trust God in this thing, because it's God is the one who delivers us. And, you know, I'll be 85 next month. Most people are dead by that age. Doctors and nurses think I'm between 60, the way I look, they think between 60 and 70 years old. But it's only because I've lived by faith for the last 50 years and took care of myself. And we don't know exactly what it was that Paul was dealing with, but it was more than his ability to endure. And speaking on that matter, the charismatic movement has really hurt Christianity in America, because all they talk about is happiness and peace and excitement and emotions and enthusiasm and money. But that's not the case. When you read in the scriptures about Jesus Christ and what he suffered, and that we have to share and partake in the sufferings of Christ as his people. And what was that verse? Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews 12, please. By the way, I learned and appreciate, it's so hard for me to have people do things for me, because I've always done for others. But I'd like to thank all of you again for your prayers. Thank my family for putting up with me, because you know I'm difficult. They think I'm proud and stubborn, and that may be true, who knows. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The picture that it has of a man running in a race, and you have an inner garment and you have an outer garment that go down to the feet. You got to throw that off, because if you don't, it's so easy to get your feet caught up into him and you trip and fall. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, what that shows is that God has in track, they have different courses and different events back then. And a guy would be sent on a particular race course. That's the track that he runs. Well, somebody else is on a different one over here. And so try to think of yourself as running a race, but the course has been set out for you, a different course from the person sitting next to you. But a course has been set out for you to run. And it'll take you over hill and dell, and may take you through brush and through rivers. And some run up in the mountains, some down in the valleys. And every one of you has your own race course to run. It'd be different than mine. So we have to run the race set out for us by God to run on the course that he wants you to run. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We spent a lot of time in that particular study. For the joy set before him, now listen to this, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's one of the applications that I had in the last, because remember back, I had a surgery in January, what they call, it used to be the open heart surgery. And I kept looking at him. Now, there was a day, remember when he got baptized by John the Baptist? Well, I like to fill things in with my mind. There was the morning of that time, he lived with his mother and stepfather. And there was a day that he walked out the front door, went down his little walkway, went through a little gate. They think they've got a picture of Christ's home when he was before his public ministry. So I want you to picture him. He gets up in the morning, has something to eat maybe, and he walks out the front door, shuts it behind him, and he knows that he has to go to see John the Baptist. And he goes through the front gate and walks on over to the Jordan River, and where John the Baptist is baptizing people. And then he submitted himself to water baptism. Now, the significance of that, it means that you've identified with the Father's plan for your life. And I want you to think of yourself. And by the way, Paul, all the stuff he's writing down here is for the benefit of the people of God. Just like I'm teaching you this morning on 2 Corinthians 1, it's for your benefit of what other great heroes of the faith have gone through and what's laid out before you. So Christ goes through the front gate and he walks out there. John the Baptist says, you should be baptizing me. And he says, it's enough. We'll do the Father's will here. And after he came up out of the water, that's when the Holy Spirit fluttered upon him dove-like. And that was a sign that he'd been chosen for God for a course of action. Next thing we see is that he went out into the wilderness for 40 days. But Luke says he was compelled, forced to go out into the wilderness. Now, don't you think he suffered in the wilderness? And with that suffering he had to endure, don't you think he got hungry? Tired of the heat, no place to sleep really, no mattress to sleep on. So he suffered for 40 days. And then after all that suffering, the devil attacks him. You're seeing some pictures here that applies to who? We have to fill in this, what's lacking in the suffering of Christ. That shows us, because we're in union with Christ, that's going to happen to us. The suffering is going to happen. The attacks of Satan are going to happen. Maybe happening for some of you right now, but it will happen. You will be hit with things, but you're filling in the sufferings of Christ in your life. Always remember that. Back to 2 Corinthians 1. We were under great pressure, suffering or pressure is guaranteed, but stress is not, it's optional. Now, pressure is what happens to us and our bodies on the outside. But stress is the turmoil we get in our side of our souls. So the one is guaranteed. We're going to be under pressure. And Paul also wrote that going through much pressure, we have to go through much pressure, many pressures, before we enter into the kingdom of God. So what's happening is that as we go through this pressure, and if we're able to get our faith up to meet the pressure, we will not have stress or turmoil in the soul. And there'll be a great reward for this in heaven by what we've had to suffer. So, and you'll find as you get older, your biggest pressure is going to be from your bodies. Now, I know that there are some here besides me who are suffering because of their bodies. Some you can hardly walk. Sometimes you can't talk. Sometimes you're in constant pain. That's the pressure of this body in this life. And I want you to note this part of the passage. We had received a sentence of death. It shows despair to the worst part, this sentence of death. They actually felt that they were going to die. And I know what that's like because I've been through that several times. But I'm not dead. So what in the heck is going on? You've given up. You're under this tremendous pressure that crushes you. And to the point that you think, well, the end is here. I'm going to die. But then you wake up and you realize, well, I didn't die. So what does that tell me? What's that, Clint?
He's not.
Yep. He still has a plan for your life. You see, if you didn't die, it means you're still alive, and he has a plan for your life. And it's like he told the Philippians in their church. But there's one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. And I've taught that six ways from Sunday over the years. But to live it, there's one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. If God has a plan for your life, he's got things going on. I wondered if I'd ever get back to church. And for spending most of my life in this building, I thought, is this what it's like to retire? I can't retire. I don't want to sit around the house. I want to teach the Word of God. That's my only function in this life, is to teach God's Word. Your only function is to learn God's Word and apply it to your life, because every time one of you applies the doctrines and promises and faith to a problem, you've overcome, you've had a victory. And that's recorded in heaven already. So don't you say, what am I doing? I don't know anything. I don't have a ministry, blah, blah, blah. Woe is me. But you could be like my grandmother, 95 years old in a rest home, and one of the nurses there got knocked up. And she wanted to, she was wondering whether to abort the baby or give it birth. And Nana's counsel to her was, oh, don't ever do that, honey. She says, you'll always regret the fact that you did that, but you'll never regret that you have this little baby. She took my grandmother's advice and brought the baby around the shore in the rest home. Nana couldn't see, so she would just touch her face with her old gnarled hands. And don't you see that she's still ministering, still applying faith, still helping other people make the right decisions? That's a Christian ministry. I mean, none of you knew my grandmother or the little nurse that got knocked up, but God knows it. And that could be any one of you in your life, ministering to people, giving out the word, encouraging people. It was years ago, I had a nurse that called me on the telephone. And she was off working, and her daughter was at home in the house, and the daughter died. And if she had been home, her daughter wouldn't have died. And I counseled, because she wanted to commit suicide, and I counseled that little mother, don't do it. You know, God's got a plan for your life. And she called me back sometime later and told me that she lived and she didn't kill herself. Well, I didn't know this woman from Adam. I don't even know what she looked like. But she didn't kill herself. And you see, if you're alive, God still has a plan for your life. You got to remember that. I've had to beat that into my brain 100 times into the last couple of months. It may be somebody that just needs a word of encouragement, somebody that you can pray for, something. You give out the word, you show them love, you show them grace. If you've received God's grace, and you have, that's why you're here, he has something for you to do. something marvelous, something that's going to have an impact on other people in their lives. So that's, and all of this teaching, you're learning different things, so you have more ammo against Satan and what he's trying to do in this world. So we will go into Philippians next hour or next class, and something I hung on to, even recently, even every day. And I'm telling you, God's word is powerful. It can change lives. It can change you. It does everything that you can't do. And all we got to do is grab a hold of it and apply it in our lives. All right, let's bow for a silent prayer, please. Our closing prayer. Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for the strength and encouragement that we get from it. We pray, Father, that you'd keep us in the word, loving it and living by it until the day we go to be with you. For we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.